Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Let's get into the Word of God very quickly this evening. We have dealt with the subject of fruitfulness. I took time to expound from scriptures what fruitfulness entails. I showed us the character of godly fruitfulness. I also went further to show us the reasons why we must be fruitful. And then I went further to also show us the laws that govern fruitfulness in the kingdom. I want to encourage someone to get those messages, listen to them over and over and over again. I told you one of the reasons we teach the Word of God is to establish us in truth so that we can also make profit. The Bible said that from the days of thy youth, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, if thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it said, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God, and they are profitable. So scriptures are meant to establish you, to save you, and to cause you to live an impactful life. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to keep you and to give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. And so I told us, we are not just teaching so that we increase in learning. This is not a theological seminary. We are teaching so that our lives are transformed, and so that we make profit in our everyday life. And that's why I told you that there are three levels in the ministry of the word. Number one, I said, is when the word comes in its written form. It's called graphe. And I said that level of the ministry of the word, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, is for doctrine, for correction, for instruction, and for reproof, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So that ministry of the word is primarily concerned with transformation. And so when you are exposed to the real ministry of the word, you cannot be the same. It will transform you. For we all with unveiled face, 2 Corinthians 3:18, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, he said, we are metamorphosed from one level of glory to another by the Spirit of the living God. So when the ministry of the word is ongoing, the goal is to transform you so that you become like Him. And that transformation is via the instrumentality of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instructions. Then I said the second level of the ministry of the word is when the word comes as the logos. As you begin to interact with the written word or the graphe, a point comes when it heightens your mind and you begin to function at the frequency of the mind of God. Because that's the plan of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 12 to 14, the Bible said that we have not received the spirit that is of this world, but the spirit that is of God. And that's why we know the things that are freely given to us by God. It said, which things we speak, not with words that human wisdom teaches, but with words that the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. It said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. And it said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, verse 16, it now went further to say, we judge all things because we have the mind of Christ. So the goal is not just to transform you through instructions. As it's transforming you, a point will come when by the Spirit, you begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So something happens to your mind. Your mind is elevated. And you begin to think and operate like Christ. That is the level of the Logos. Because the Logos is actually the mind of God. The Logos is the methodology of the Father. And at the level of the Logos, there is wisdom for creativity. This is when your life begins to truly impact your world. You are not just a good Christian, but you are an impactful Christian. Because now you think like God. You can create solutions in the face of chaos. Because the job of the Logos is to bring God's method and bring God's product. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. What did the Logos do? All things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So as you move in the ministry of the word, a point comes when you adopt the mind of God. So you can produce at God's frequency. You can function at God's frequency. That's when Christianity ceases to be a religion. So you can be a banker and you are ahead of all the bankers. Because you think at a wisdom frequency that no other banker thinks at. You can be a lecturer and be a lecturer with a difference. You can be a doctor and a doctor with a difference. Your mind has been elevated. The goal of the world is not just to make you a good person. It's to make you an impactful person. So it moves from graphe to logos. Then a point comes when it becomes rhema. The rhema is when the word of God comes from the mouth of God to you. Now you have migrated from the book. You have migrated from just thinking at God's frequency. God now shoots the word into you like arrows. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema. Matthew 4, 3 and 4. By every rhema that proceeded from the mouth of God. He said, faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10, 17. By hearing the rhema of God. When you enter the frequency of the rhema, you are not just creative. You are not just inspired. You become a force. Because the rhema is power. That's when you can top oppositions. That's when you can open new frontiers. That's when you can move by the force and the power of the Spirit. You cannot really create change in the face of opposition if you have not hit the rhema frequency of the Word of God. At this level, the Word becomes power. At this level, the Word becomes a weapon. A weapon that fortifies you to represent God's interest and to establish His government. This is why the ministry of the word transforms and makes you productive. Why am I saying all of this? Don't just receive the things you learn. Fill up your notes and have a few scriptures to quote. The reason you are learning what you are learning is so that your life can have existential implications. Because as a believer, there is a protocol. God expects you to believe Him and receive eternal life. But God also expects you to know Him and be transformed. And then God also expects to commission you as a witness to carry His kingdom from place to place. So the end of a Christian's life is to be like God and to be able to impact society. This is the errand of the Word of God. That your life is consequential. And this is why, at touching fruitfulness, we are looking in depth into the provisions that the Word of God has made available. So we have studied to understand the concept of fruitfulness. We have also studied to understand the character of fruitfulness that comes from God. We have also studied to understand why fruitfulness is important. And then we have studied to see the laws that governs fruitfulness. Anybody who is fruitful lives and functions by certain laws. And I dealt with that last Sunday. Tonight, I want to show you the currencies that procure fruitfulness. The Bible says, go to them that have and buy. There are currencies in the spirit for procuring things. Things are not really free. You must buy certain things
And if you will be fruitful, you need many currencies. And I told you that the least currency you have is money. There are 12 currencies in the business of life. And anybody who will truly be rich, both in time and in eternity, must have access to all of these currencies. So what I want to center on tonight is to identify each currency and then show you how to procure them. Some of us, all we know how to get is money. There are many, many more currencies in the spirit. In fact, when you study the subject of currencies, you are going to discover that there are three cadres of currencies. Number one, they are natural currencies or physical currencies, like the money we use every day. And then number two, there are moral currencies. There are certain currencies that may not be physical, but they are morally oriented. And they can buy what physical currencies can buy. For instance, integrity is superior to dollars. Because moral currencies are superior to natural currencies or physical currencies. Ask any businessman, he will tell you. And I will show you from scripture. And then number three, we have spiritual currencies. The blessings of God, they are more significant than Great British pounds. He said, the blessings of the Lord make it rich and added no sorrow to it. You can have pounds and be full of sorrow, but if you are blessed, you can't have sorrow. So spiritual currencies are superior to moral currencies, and moral currencies are superior to physical currencies. But a man who is fruitful must have all categories of currencies for him to really be fruitful. But before we get into looking at the 12 currencies for advancing life, let's begin by understanding what a currency is. This is not Lagos Business School. I'm not a teacher of money. I'm teaching kingdom. I'm just showing you resources for advancing kingdom. Because, you know, in this generation where antichrists are many, it's a bit difficult to teach, because you can talk for 2 hours and they carry 10 seconds. And the 10 seconds will go by that and they'll say, look at them. A man of God stands in church on Sunday and is teaching about currency. Meanwhile, they don't even have an idea what you are talking about. Glory to God. So what's a currency? I give you two definitions quickly. Number one, a currency is any medium that has purchasing power that facilitates value transfer and is acceptable for transaction in a given context. A currency is any medium that has purchasing power, facilitates value transfer, and acceptable for transaction in any given context. So long as you have anything that has purchasing power, that can be used to transfer value systems, and that is acceptable as an instrument of transaction in a context, you are dealing with a currency. So currency is not just money. It's superior. It can be money, but it's much more than money. Number two, what is a currency? This is in a kingdom context now. A currency is anything of value, whether spiritual or physical, approved by God and man, which in a morally acceptable context facilitates divine purpose and access to spiritual realities. I take it again. A currency is anything of value, whether spiritual or physical, approved of God and man, which in a morally acceptable context facilitates divine purpose and grant access to spiritual realities. So when we are dealing with currencies, these are the things we are talking about. So let's look at scriptures and find out the 12 items that have power to purchase, that can facilitate transactions, that can facilitate value transfer when used in a moral context. Number one, I will begin with physical currencies. And there are basically three physical currencies. You need to understand that currencies are very important. Those of you who are businessmen, this message will come to you very, not just handy now, but it will be something you are familiar with. Let me show you the value of currencies quickly before I show you the types of currency. Number one is a medium of exchange. If you don't have currency, you cannot do any form of exchange anywhere. What authorizes you to carry out any form of exchange is currency. For instance, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth, sell it not. So you need something to be able to procure for you to have any form of exchange. Number two, currency is a medium that stores value. So when a man has currency, he can preserve value over a long period of time. Have you seen people who store gold? And they store gold, after 20 years, they are still rich. What have they done? They have trapped value. But the medium by which they were able to trap that value is a currency. That's why Jesus told us in Matthew 6:20, he said, lay up gold for yourselves in a place. Lay up treasure for yourselves in places where moth cannot enter to destroy, nor thief enter to steal. So even in the spirit, you can store value. And any medium through which value is stored is currency. This is why you look at some people, after 30 years, they are still relevant. They are still impactful. And you are wondering, why is this person still relevant? He's spending a type of currency. The reason some people appear today, they vanish tomorrow, is because they don't have tenders, legal tenders, both in the spirit and in the natural, to preserve value. So they eat up their value in a short period of time. But if you will preserve value, you will need many dimensions of currencies. Number three, currency is important because it's a unit of account. So you don't just store value, you also define values through currency. In Matthew 20 verse 2, the Bible said, a denarius shall be for a day's wages. So you use currency to quantify value. Why do you know that gold, diamond, and silver are not of the same value? It's the currency that they command. So the value of a thing can be quantified by the currency. Why do we know that a soul is the most important thing on earth? It's because Jesus said, if you sell everything on earth, you can't buy a soul. And he said, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? But when God wanted to purchase our souls, he used the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus was the only currency powerful enough to buy the soul. So when you are quantifying things, the most important thing on earth is the soul, because of what can buy it. So currency quantifies values. Number four, currency grants access. When you find people enter places, it's something that brought them there. They paid their way into it. It may not be physical money, but there is a value they exchange to be there. Most of the people you see in certain corridors, they are hugging themselves, they are laughing. You think they love themselves. They don't, sir. It is naivety to assume when you see mighty men hugging themselves that it's only love that made them do that. By the time you finish spending your money, they will tell you, go to them that have and buy. Some of you see businessmen, they are shaking, they are hugging. You say, Kai, they love themselves. Some of you even see apostles, prophets. They sit together in a meeting. They are shaking hands, hugging. You say, I love when brethren are together. You are joking. There's something they are spending to be at that level. By the time you exhaust your own, that prophet that was shaking you and hugging you, you may never be in one context again. In fact, when you see him, you say, how you doing, brother? And walk away. Currency has finished. Don't be naive in life. Make sure your account, both physical, moral, and spiritual, is loaded. I'm telling you, make sure. Some of you sweat all day long. You are trying to fill your physical account. Meanwhile, your moral account is bankrupt. Your spiritual account is bankrupt. That's why there are certain levels in life you can't enter. I will show you currencies tonight, so that we will find out who is really rich. Because a man who is truly rich is rich based on men's standards and is also rich with God. You know, a man can be rich with man and be poor with God. How many of you read the story, the parable of the guy who filled his barn and said, tonight I will sleep. And God said, you fool, tonight your soul will be demanded. He was rich with men, but he was poor with God. He had physical currency, but he lacked moral currency and spiritual currency. Wealthy men will rise from here tonight. When I was preparing for this service, I was guiding my soul to stay low, not too high, so that I can communicate everything I've written down. Because I took time to write some things. So currencies grant what? Access. And number five, currencies facilitate purpose. Ecclesiastes 10:19. It says, money answereth all things. You can't fulfill purpose if you don't have currencies to power them. Money answereth what? All things. So when we are dealing with currencies, we are looking at any resource that can trigger exchange. If you want comfort, there is a currency that buys it. If you want influence, there is a currency that buys it. Don't just desire, sit down and be having wishful thinking. No, get resources. Get currencies. It will be yours. If you want to store value, there are currencies for storing values. If you want to easily define units of things, there are currencies that are used for measuring these things. Hope you know, if you leave Nigeria and cross your border to another location, your naira can't define value anymore. They will need a superior currency called dollar. Your naira is not stable enough to be used to define value in Africa. Go to Kenya and bring dollar. They'll say, what is that? Bring naira. They'll say, what is that? We don't know this. If you want to buy from an Ethiopian, the currency that defines value is dollars. They will need dollars. And then when you are transacting with an angel, dollars becomes weak. You will need another type of currency. So people who really want to be impactful, they are people who are loaded with different currencies. Physical, moral, and spiritual currencies. Now let's look at physical currencies. God of mercy. Number one is money. Let's begin with the known. Then we go to the unknown. You know, life is so terrible for some people that even money that is the least, they don't have. Don't find yourself in a place where you are above 30 and you cannot generate enough money, at least for your everyday living. It's a terrible place to be. You know, I told you currencies define value. There are many people today, if you compare their age and the money that comes to them, you'll be wondering, what have you been doing with your life? It means he has not mastered how to make money. And so there are many things that his destiny requires that he cannot sustain. Because what will bring those things into his space for his destiny to ride on them, he doesn't have it. The purchasing power is not there. So we begin with money. It's a natural currency and it sustains a type of power. I showed you already, Ecclesiastes 10:19. Money answereth all things. There are things in your life, believe me, no matter how you fast and pray, if you don't have money, you can't have them. You know, when you find children, they think everything is holiness, holiness, holiness. Now, I will show you moral currency, and I will talk about things that border holiness. But see, you don't buy everything with everything. There are unique currencies for unique items. And there are things that if you don't have money, no matter how holy you are, no matter how much of a prayer warrior you are, you can't get them. Even Jesus needed money to do certain things. Did you not read your Bible that Judas followed him with a bag of money? Was Jesus not holy? Holiness is important, but there are areas where holiness is not a legal tender. There are areas where you need to bring cash to exchange value. There are areas where you need to bring cash to have access. This is why, in addition to other currencies, you need money. Ecclesiastes 7:12. The Bible said, wisdom is a defense, and it says money also is a defense. In fact, if you read that scripture down, it told us a parable. It said there was a small city. That city was besieged. And then in that city, there was a poor wise man who through his wisdom delivered the city. He said, but nobody remembered him. And he said, I have come to understand under the sun that the wisdom of the poor man is despised. So if you want to advance kingdom, be wise, oh, be holy, but have money. Do you know there are certain ministers that their messages, if heard, will trigger revival in Nigeria within a month. But they don't have money to amplify it. Because everybody is online. And they don't have cameras. They don't have amplifiers. They don't have money to put it online. But when you sit under them, you are changed. Because they need money in addition to other currencies that they already have in excess. This is why you must. Don't despise money. It's the love of money that is evil. In fact, only a hypocrite attempts to act like he's despising money in the public. All of us need money, and we carry money everywhere we go. The education in your head now, money bought it. The clothes you are wearing, money bought it. So don't come acting as a hypocrite that you don't need it. All of us need it. It's a purchasing power. It advances even kingdom. Thou shalt remember the Lord your God. It is him that giveth thee power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. That you might what? Establish his covenant that he gave your fathers even this day. Luke 8:1 to 3. Women gave money to advance Jesus' ministry. He didn't just go to villages and towns by locating. He went there because money sponsored it. So money is a currency. And scriptures show us few ways of generating money. Number one, this is where you have to pay attention. Number one is through generosity. If you are a spiritual man, if you are not spiritual, this may not apply to you. If you are not somebody under God's government, this may not apply to you. But if you call yourself a believer, a spiritual man who is under God's government, then these things are the ways that scriptures has recommended. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:24 to 25, it said, there is him that scattereth, yet increaseth. There is him that withholdeth more than his meat, but tendeth to poverty. Verse 25, he said, but the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. So in this kingdom, for you to make money and to profit, you have to be liberal. 2 Corinthians 9, you read from verse 6 to verse 8. Paul was teaching, and he likened our increase to the technology of farming. How a farmer sows few grains and reaps a great harvest. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap what? Bountifully. Verse 7, he showed us that there is a spiritual force that comes in when you become Libra. He said, every man, according as he has proposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8 is where the mystery comes in. This is why I said, if you are a believer, see what he said, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So when a man becomes Libra, liberality traffics a kind of grace in his direction. And what does that grace do? That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in good works. So anybody who believes that grace empowered him is Libra and is committed to good works. That's the sign that this is a believer who is wealthy. Number two, diligent work. Scripture shows is a channel for increasing money. In Proverbs 10:4 and Proverbs 22:29, see the way the Bible puts it. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. It says, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. If you want to be wealthy, he said, be diligent. Pay attention to details and be consistent. You find many people, it's not enough to give, sir. Giving is one of the legs of the stool. If you only give and you are not diligent, you will end up hating God and your pastor. And this is why we have a problem in church. We keep emphasizing giving, 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 and we don't teach the other things that scripture reveals. So you find a Christian who goes to work late 20 times out of 24 working days. You find a Christian, they're giving him project. 4 out of the 5 projects, he finished last and he came with excuses. But that Christian stands in church and says, Lord, remember my offering. Remember my tithe. Remember, you have a problem, sir. The offering is powerful. Your liberality is powerful. But that's not the only law God gave. There is the law of diligence. Even God himself cannot open doors for you to where you will prosper, because you will bring reproach to his name. That's why I said in Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? That's the only one that stands before kings. So you can give and never come to where you should prosper, because diligence has not been added. Number three, the Bible speaks of wise investment. Matthew 25:14-30. It's too long for us to read, but it's the parable of the talent. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, he gave one what? 1. Which of them prospered? The 2 that invested. The one that didn't invest remained at the same level. So God encourages wise and strategic investment. You should know how to turn money over. That's why you have wisdom. The guy who had 5 traded and got 5 in return. The master came, gave him 10 cities. The guy that had 2 traded, got 4 in return. The master came, gave him 4 cities. That means there is a reward that comes to those who are wise investors. But if you don't invest, guess what happens to you? After a while, the one you have, the Bible said, it will be taken from you. It says, take from the guy who has 1 and give to the one who has 10. And they say, master, this brother already has more than enough. He said, no. In this kingdom, him that has and desires to have, more will be given to him. And they say, him that has not and desires not to have, even the little he has will be taken from him and given to the one who has and desires to have more. So if you are not investing, you are making a statement in the spirit. What is that statement? I don't desire to have. So if you want to increase in money, be liberal. If you want to increase in money, be diligent. If you want to increase in money, be a wise investor. And then number 4, scripture reveals to us integrity. Proverbs 13:11. And I'm still going to talk about integrity. You can cut corners in the world, not in the kingdom. Don't cut corners and come back to God and say, bless me. You will live with a curse. Because there are many people, when it becomes difficult, they cut corners. You will be setting yourself up. If as the partridge layeth eggs and is not there to hatch it, it says, so shall be the way of the wicked man. He will labor, and in the season of harvest, he will not be there to inherit it. So don't cut corners. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. It says, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. So the kingdom shows us how to increase in resources. This is why I told you last week, build values. Build values. When you have free time, take a course on investment, on financial intelligence, on financial management. It's part of kingdom advancement. Because if you don't have resources, you can't advance kingdom. Cry out. Zechariah 1:17. My kingdom through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Some of you sitting here, if your heart is open, the plans you have for God's kingdom, if it is executed, Jesus will come next week. Some of you are seated here, you wish God gave you $10 billion. You will sponsor 100 crusades in 195 nations. You will use it for kingdom. The problem is that you have the money in your heart, you don't have it in your hand. Because you have violated the law that moves it from your heart into your hand. You are not liberal, you are not diligent, you are not a wise investor, and you don't have integrity. God is not a respecter of persons. He blesses all of us, but there are systems in the spirit for making that blessing personal. Glory to God. And when you read the Bible, you find many examples. Number two, currency of the spirit realm is gifts and talents. There are many things you can buy with your gifts. Oh my God. When you find a gifted man, even the enemy sometimes forget that they are enemies with him. The things that people save money to buy, others give it to gifted men, and they are happy if the people receive it with appreciation. Sometimes I look at the power of gifting, it looks to me like a spear. People cannot even comport themselves when they stand before a gifted person. And this is not just about the kingdom. Some of you here who are Christians, you know that you should not have anything to do with darkness. But some worldly people are too gifted for you to ignore them. Your consecration has not reached the level of avoiding them. So when you see secular artists who are high on marijuana, who are highly immoral, they show up. Christians are still struggling to take selfies with them. Excited! Some of you go to some programs where they profane spiritual things. But the gift these men have is so much that you act as if you didn't hear. So a comedian is mimicking tongues, making a mess of speaking in tongues. You know your spirit is grieved. But the next 5 seconds, he cracked another joke. You jump, you start laughing. At the end of the event, you go and hug him to take selfie. You don't even want to offend him by telling him, don't do that thing again. The power of gifts. The Bible said in Proverbs 18:16, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. If you want to have access, advanced kingdom, and do everything that a prosperous and impactful person does, one of the currency you can't joke with are the currencies of your giftings. Some of us, our giftings are so blunt that even when we try to use them, ourselves are not impressed. Europe today, the biggest religion is football. The biggest religion, football. every weekend, more than 20 stadia packed with thousands of people to watch people dribbling themselves with football. They can't help it. You put an event on Saturday, you're on your own in England. There's a match. In fact, when you go to this city, the size of the stadium alone, they will stand and say, what is this? And then when there is a match, the whole city is drawn. Even when match is over, environment, I was in Manchester the other time, everywhere was choked. They said, no, Manchester has match. And all these people came, they don't have work. These are people that on weekends, they pay double. So they all go to work, even Sundays. But when the club has match, if you like, multiply the wages by 10. What they see in that field appeals to their soul much more than anything you are going to pay them. Meanwhile, the believer undermines his gift. He trivializes his gift. He doesn't even remember he has one. Some of you seated here, if you sing, in 5 seconds, your voice will shift the atmosphere. But you have never sang. You have been a teacher for 15 years, going to work every day, singing nursery rhyme. By civil servant for 25 years, you have been promoted 4 times. Now you are on grade level 16. I'm not despising civil service. Don't get me wrong. There are people whose calling is to the civil service. That's where God sent them to. Because we need men of integrity there. But I'm saying, if God didn't send you there, make your capital and take off. Make your capital, go away. I was a teacher, sir. HOD chemistry. HOD mathematics at some point. Guess what? When the gift became sharp and the nations began to call, I had to remove the lab coat. Because when I checked heaven, that was not where they sent me to. If I was sent there, I would have become a professor. But when I checked heaven, they didn't send me there. And I said, why will I have to wear lab coat every day? Augusta, leave here. Sharpen your gift, sir. That's your tongue. It's $1 million equipment. You don't know. You have not just discovered. One of the most expensive things on earth is that red organ in your mouth. That tongue. If you sharpen your mind, 10 people can say the same story until you say it. You just hear the story. And they are wondering, hey, I heard this story before. How did you say it? Something is on your tongue. It's called a gift. Some of you, those your long legs is for sprinting. And some of you, that short leg is to trap ball. When you trap it, you can hold it there for 2 hours. And you are watching. Don't despise your gift. You do it at your expense. Gifted men are begging for access where they should be celebrated. When they invited me 5 years ago to go to Agbo, oh, I came and they rolled out red carpet to the street. In fact, when we were entering the city, cars, there was a convoy waiting. Because I was coming from a nearby city, I said, I don't have to go back to Abuja and fly. Cars were waiting. And when they were driving me, I was recognizing some of the roads where I used to enter bus 15 years ago as a youth copper. Struggling. When they now brought me to that street, I stood like this. They put a red carpet. I know that street. One day I was coming from Wari through Abraka. My money finished. It was on that street that a miracle happened. Somebody sent me 17,000 from Kano. And I got the alert. Because if I stopped in Agbo, I wouldn't have had money to continue to Asaba. It was on that. So I know that road. Guess what? The church was on that road. Ah, when I dropped, I saw the red carpet. I walked in, everybody stood, celebrating me. Tears almost came down. This same road, 15 years ago, I needed to beg. But now, something has come on me. Oh, this same road. When your gifts are sharpened, the place places you were despised, you'll be honored. How did Joseph leave the prison? The same prison where Joseph was for 2 years. A point came, and missionaries from the king came. Are you Joseph? He said, I am he. What did he have? The ability to interpret dreams. Things were rough. He kept his gift. The one that opened the door was the interpretation in the dream. Hope you know, in prison he should be depressed. Let not depression make you hide your gift. It is at the lowest moment that the gift becomes most strategic. The guy interpreted dream in the prison. That was where envoys came from the throne room. The king desires you. The Bible said until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house. He made him ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure, and to teach his senators wisdom. What if Joseph forgot how to interpret dreams? What if Joseph was in prison and they said, two people dreamt, and he said, come on, don't disturb me. Who is talking dreams here? Are there dreams in the prison? He would have died there. See, any gift you have, in the name of Jesus, the grace to sharpen and to propagate it, it rests on you now. Please sit down. I'm managing time. I promised myself today I won't go too high, so that you need it. Your gift is a currency. How do you discover and activate your gift? Number one, through service. When you are gifted, don't wait to be paid. Render it. Be volunteering. Be serving. A day will come when, even if you volunteer, the excellency of your manifestation will be too much that they will know it's a sin for you to do it for free. Some people have not sharpened their gift, but they want to start by monetizing it. You don't have a platform yet. They say sing. You say, alabaya, alabaya. Meanwhile, you are singing. Nobody's moved. That's not the time to expect money. In fact, if you do it for money, you have corrupted. Don't do it for money. But there's a level you will sharpen it to. It must attract money, whether you like it or not. Service. Nothing activates it like service. Peter admonished us in 1 Peter 4:10. Is there any gift you have received? Every man that has received gift, he said, let him minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you have the gift of telling stories, anytime the acting drama, tell stories. You have the gift of singing. Any opportunity to sing, sing. You have the gift to make people laugh. Anywhere people are depressed, make them laugh. Don't even wait for a stage, even at home. A point will come, the gift will give you a platform. But that's not where the glory is. Another point will come, you will become the platform. So you won't look for platform. Even if you go to a wilderness and stand there, the nations will come there. It's at the point when you become a platform that your gift can now have a financial value. Otherwise, you will corrupt it. Gift is a currency. Number two, from service, then step into consistent exercise of the gift. Service gives you a platform to discover and activate the gift, then you begin to consciously exercise the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6. Discharge, give ideas, O son Timothy, that you fan to flame the gift of God which is in you through the putting on of my hands. 1 Timothy 4:14. He said, give thyself wholly to these things, then your profiting, 15 and 16, shall be made manifest to all. If you have found a gift, exercise it. Exercise it. Number three, when you are exercising, don't stop there. Get mentorship. Because there are ropes you may not be able to navigate on your own. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, as a man the countenance of his friend. Get mentorship. And then finally, don't neglect it for any reason. Because as you are growing, a point will come, discouragement will come, oppositions will come. No matter the discouragement, see, you make people laugh, somebody made you cry, you are crying, they say, they need somebody here. Wipe your tears, go to the mirror, do like this. Force yourself to laugh, then go and perform. If you neglect that gift, you will suffer in your tomorrow. Paul said, do not neglect 1 Timothy 4:14, the gift of God that was put in you by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. See, gifts are so powerful that they can be natural and they can be spiritual. They bridge every realm of currency. I'm teaching you how to develop currency. Money is one, but money is the least. Let your wallet have the currency of gifts. If they ask you now, what are the two predominant gifts in your life? Some of you don't even know them. And some of you know them, but you have not developed them enough to get the attention of your generation. Meanwhile, Gentiles come to your light. Kings come to the brightness of your rising. That's why you are submitting proposals, submitting applications. The doors are not opening. Let your gift shine. Even in the forest, they will find you. Currency. And it is important because it is one of the quickest ways of advancing kingdom. Look at Joseph. He just stood there, interpreted Pharaoh's dream, gave him wisdom. This is what I do in the prison on a normal day. Say, here is no longer prison. This one that you did here now has made you the second in command in Egypt. It was on the strength of that he preserved God's people for a generation. Israel would have died of hunger because there was food only in Egypt. And the point came, physical money finished. But you know what? You start spending gifts when there is no money. Because gift can produce money and what money can produce. So when the food of Jacob and his sons finished, the gift of Jacob, of Joseph, was still flowing. And they brought 70 of them to Egypt, fed them for a whole generation. Some of you are shy to manifest your gift. You came and sang. People who are bad belly, they looked at you and they want you to be discouraged when you are singing. They are doing like this. When they are doing like that, look up and sing with all your heart. They are not your audience. You came to give a charge. As you are talking, one went there, another one went there, others carried their phone as if they are doing more important things. Forget them. Angels too are hearing. Elijah said, before God, whom I stand. Some of you, after you gave a charge, you now left. The whole week, all you heard was, look at him. He went up there, they said he should talk Bible. He was just there, talking all his pride and arrogance. That's why they will go nowhere. Check your heart. Is there pride there? If it's pride, Lord forgive me. I'm still learning. But if it is not, and you see that it's bad belly at work, the next time you come as a prince. Have you seen me come here with t-shirt before? No, sir. If you carry something, you know. And if I choose to come with t-shirt, even the gift will overshadow it. sharpen it, exercise it, don't neglect it. It will change you, sir. Some of you are here now because two people stood up 10 years ago and slandered you when you manifested. And you let that arrow stalk and remained. Today, they are no longer in view, but that arrow has pulled you down. I stand here as a prophet. In the name of Jesus, anything that has shut down your gift, I command it to come out of you. Please sit down. Number three, physical currencies. As I'm talking now, some of you are traveling to where they shot you with arrows and daggers. Who knows? By now you should have been interviewing people. Your platform should have been as big as CNN. But when you started, they say, who are you? All these people with big eyes. I've told you before, don't be ambitious. But at the same time, refuse to be a mediocre. It is ambition if it is for self. But if it is for God's glory, the betterment of humanity, before self, pour yourself to it. Let them say what they want. This is why we are backward in Africa. Our professors live here, go for academic seminars. Get those who sit with them in those seminars. 23-year-old doctors. The ones who cannot be their graduate assistant here, they are their colleagues when they go for international seminars. And when they go there, they throw their parochial culture away and shake them like colleagues. But when they come back to Africa, who are you? It's no longer about intelligence. I'm not talking against moral values. But I'm saying we have made mediocre out of our generations. Let's proceed to moral currencies because of time. Number one, moral currency, discipline, and time management. Most of you don't know that the skill in handling time is a very strong legal tender as far as procurement in life is concerned. How a man manages time in itself is a currency. Some people are where they are because they wasted all their time. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, it said to everything, it said there is, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. This is why those who know how to manage time, they cover a lot of mileage in destiny. In Ephesians 5:15 and 16, it says to redeem the times because the days are evil. In Psalm 90 verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days so we can apply our hearts to wisdom. So when you find a man who manages time, what happens to him is that he maximizes opportunities and he has a lot of mileage in destiny. That becomes an advantage to him. So the guy is in SS3 with his mates. But because of how he has used time, he's already like a graduate. So by the time his mates are coming to where he is, 4 years later, he has gone far. And they are wondering, how did you get here? He bought time. Through the discipline of management. He bought it. Have you not heard? They say 20 children don't play in 20 years. They don't play together in 20 years. How they handle time will separate them into cadres in life. You can recover destiny through time management. The unit of your life is calibrated into time. That's why when somebody dies, they can tell you exactly how old he is. That means every phase of his life was captured, was trapped, was regulated. So how much he can achieve in life is tied to what he does with those capsules of time. So time itself is not the value. It's the discipline and the skill in managing it that is the value. Otherwise, Methuselah would have been the most relevant person on earth. Many waste time. And the Bible advises us, if you do so, you will suffer. It said, a moment of slackness or folding of hands, a moment of sleep, it says poverty will overtake you like armed men. So a man who doesn't know how to manage his time will be overwhelmed. See, there is a place for warfare. There are people that are doing everything they have to do, but they are under attack. Don't worry. That's why these are not the only currencies. The blood of Jesus is also a currency. Faith is also a currency. So that in case there is a warfare, you can remove other currencies and deal with it. But these are basic ones. As far as morality is concerned, if you waste your time, you are not qualified to demand greatness. How do you maximize time as a currency of destiny? Number one, pray for wisdom. Psalm 90 verse 12. Teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Number two, how do you maximize time? Prioritize values over pleasure. Values. And if I may, kingdom. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, everything that men seek is added to you. So a man who procures value with his time, what others buy with money is an addition to him. There are people in this world who never bought a car. They carried so much value that every season that they required car, it came as a gift. Lands are gifted to some people. Lands. Because of the value. They have built so much value with their time that every second of their life, too much value is compressed into it. So they can stand somewhere, talk for 10 minutes, and they give them a land that somebody else will save for 35 years of working to buy. Because of how time was managed. But it's Aaron Messier. I went with him somewhere to preach, to talk to businessmen. Say, buddy. You know, sometimes when they rank that, I shouldn't go there, but maybe we have not raised enough people to go there. So sometimes we still go into the world system to bring God's government. But the brother is a Christian. I went there, they were giving people, I think 30 minutes or so, or 40 minutes, I can't remember now. When I came, I said, I will stick to time. They said, no way. Talk until you are tired. Meanwhile, the guy that was talking before I came, they were doing like this. They will send paper. Everybody. Hey! Maragabodaba. Don't lie in your room and watch movies for 2 weeks. You are wasting your destiny. Don't go for birthday parties that you are not invited for. It's not every marriage you attend. Sit down, redeem the time. The days are evil. Otherwise, you will spend your whole life, 35 years, the whole value will be one land and one house. I went there, I spoke for about 55 minutes. I dropped the mic. They were shouting, continue. I said, I'm done. When I finished, the next day they sent me a land with sea of oil and everything attached. I don't even have time to go and see it yet. I told Barisaroma, keep it in the archive, where you store documents of land. I may never see that land. There's no time to go and see the land. Because what brought you here is what you did with yesterday. So you have to do something with today to be in the right place tomorrow. So don't waste today glorifying in yesterday's achievement. The achievement of tomorrow is waiting for what you will do with today. We are poor, most of us are poor. Because we crossed our legs, watch movie for 1 month. I'm not saying don't give yourself rest or refreshing through anything that helps you to relieve pressure. I'm not saying that. Once in a while, I do it. When I'm done with work, I give myself rest. There are times when I go to play games. But that is after I have finished my work. Because my work is not pleasure. Redeem the time. So number one, pray for wisdom. Psalm 90 verse 12. Number two, redeem the time. Don't waste opportunities. You will not be on earth forever. Number three, prioritize values. Every time you have, look for value and purchase. And number four, delegate responsibilities by empowering others. Exodus 18, 17 to 23, and Numbers 11, 16 to 17, 24 to 30. Moses ordained 70 elders. Because there is a level you get to that managing your achievements becomes a distraction. So what God does is as you grow, other people find destiny within your destiny. So you delegate. Don't do everything. If you start doing everything, you have started wasting time. You will soon crash. Look at this service. There are about 8 segments of this service. I'm handling only one, which is the word. I'm not taking offering. I'm not taking worship. I'm not taking announcement. Others do that so that we can continually be effective. Today alone, we've had service in more than 10 nations. As I'm talking to you now, in over 8 nations, this same service is ongoing. I can't be everywhere. It's time management. Because your ability to manage time effectively is a currency. You will buy the future with it. You will gain mileage with it. It gives you strategic advantage in destiny. Number two, under moral currencies, which is also number four on the 12 currencies, is integrity. Character is a legal tender. There is a level you get to in life. If you like, have all the monies in the world, nobody will do business with you. Unless if you say it has arrived, and it means it has arrived. Unless if you say I have 10 cartons and you have 10 cartons. Because the people you are dealing with, they are people of high stakes. They don't have time for drama. So when somebody tells you, I need 5 cartons, you don't know what it's meant for. A nation may depend on it. A president may require it. So he doesn't want to come to your office later and say, "Guy, sorry, I thought the cartons will come, but it has not come." Oh. You don't know, the off is volatile. You will not have 2 chances. That carton, nobody will buy it again. Ask people who are wealthy. Integrity is unquestionable. If they tell you tomorrow 12, go there, they are there before time. If they tell you I can do this, you don't need to remind them, they can. Most poor men are poor because they lack integrity. You will think the people who don't have much are the ones who should be. You'll be joking. You will see drama. They will tell you 5 things. 4 will be wrong. Or it will be a lie. Let me show you scriptures. Proverbs 22 verse 1. These are currencies. It said a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A good name. Because in the realm of power, name is superior to money. In fact, it's within the context of integrity that even your name too becomes a currency. When a man builds integrity over time, his name becomes a currency. So you can go somewhere and say, Mr. A asked me to come take it. And they can give you something worth billions if they confirm that Mr. A said it. I was talking with a friend last week. They went to a real estate project and they were going to need to get, you know, buy things because, you know, as they are developing, that's why money is changing, people are buying. And then the guy he was working with now called his friend, who is a dealer of building equipment. He said, anything he asked for that is less than 1 billion, give him. Does that make sense? Whatever happens, put it in my account. That is over. It's over. There are men that can tell you, go to that car stand, pick 3 cars. Tell them I sent you. They will not do transfer for 1 month, but there's no cause for alarm. Is it this person? No problem. Confirm. Is it the one? Take it. Nobody will ask you. It's settled. There are people that will look at you and say, go there, they'll give you the job I sent you. And he will go. Because of his integrity, his name has become a currency. So integrity is not just a currency. It makes your name a currency. So people that talk A and is B, C and is Z, you are wasting your life. You are planning your way into poverty. A good name is superior to great riches. A friend told me a story, I think that's Pastor Silas now, about Pastor E. Adeboye. He said when they wanted to celebrate, I think his 70th birthday, the RCCG community in the UK and Europe said they wanted to bless him. So they opened an account to give to bless him. Guess what? 2 years later, people still heard that there was a project like that and they insisted they will give. After 2 years, somebody here, they are doing this and they didn't tell me. And people were giving even after 2 years. So the bank was still collecting money to bless the man after 2 years. If you are the banker, won't you say, who is this? Integrity. Integrity. You want to go far, you need this currency. Don't allow anything make you. You are shaky. Don't do that. It will destroy you. How do you buy integrity? See the way Proverbs 10:9 puts it. It says, whoever walks in integrity, it said he walks securely. Securely. His life is secured and guaranteed. It's a currency. The Bible says, let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. He knows why. One day we come, when they say it's you, the door will open. Even if you don't have physical cash. How many great people do you see carrying cash around? They just show up and throw their names on the matter. Throw their weight and answers are generated. They have built it over the years. That's why when Satan wants to attack you, one of the areas he will attack you is your name. Because he knows that if integrity is withdrawn from your life, you have become poor. How do you build integrity? Number one, develop the fear of the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 20 verse 7. Develop fear of God. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed forever. Who is the just man? It's the man that fears the Lord and submits to God's will. Develop it. When God speaks, tremble. When you see something from scripture, make it a law. People who don't fear God hardly have integrity. I mean, if God means nothing to you, what else can you not swindle? So when you find people of integrity, they have developed the fear of the Lord. Number two, how do you develop integrity? Keep God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11. How shall a young man keep his ways? He said, by taking heed unto your word. He said, your word I have put in my heart that I should not sin against you. Store the word of God in your heart. If you don't fear man, that word can trouble you until you do what is right. People who don't have integrity, they have no word in their spirit. Number three, how do you develop integrity? Be transparent in your dealings. Secrecy breeds compromise. Anything you are doing, don't be afraid to make it plain. When it is plain, you have built a security system. There are some people buy bread. They don't want to tell you where they are buying it. They don't want to. Oh God, why are you? What are you hiding? Buy bread from here. They will tell you I bought from somewhere so that you don't check. And I'm not saying check when you send somebody to buy bread. I'm just giving an instance. But they are secret with everything so that they can have opportunity to do whatever they want to do that is not morally right. When you are transparent, even if your integrity has not yet grown, it will be difficult for you to compromise. Number four, develop the character of saying no to bribe and gift that is meant to persuade. If somebody is giving you anything and you suspect there's an ulterior motive, reject it. Train yourself like that. Don't receive gifts that persuade people. And don't receive bribe. Your integrity will be intact. Because when you start taking gifts that you don't know why they came, there's no justification for it. One day, that gift will ensnare you. Because the same person will come. He has done this, he has done that. Now, why would you say no? This is one of the things that made many young ladies to compromise. Uncle came, gave you recharge card. Uncle came, gave you phone. Uncle came, bought you dress. And then one day, Uncle say, there is a party, can you come? You don't know how to say no. Because you fell when you collected those things. Exodus 23:8, Proverbs 10:9. Say no to bribe. Learn to say no to gifts that come with ulterior motives. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blinded the wise and perverted the way of the righteous. Why do you think many men of God, the moment they start entering government house, they can't say truth? They give them envelopes that have no justification. And tomorrow, the same person, they don't have moral right to speak anymore. Build integrity. Whether you are a preacher or you are in business, it's a current in the spirit. This was how Daniel survived in Babylon. The Bible said Daniel and his friends, Daniel 1, 18 to 20, refused to be compromised by the portion of the king's meat. I think that's verse 7 to 9. And then verse 18 to 20, they were better than everybody else. Chapter 5, he became a prime minister. Build integrity. Don't worry. It may look slow. You will get there. And you will get there in a ground style. Those who take bribes and cut corners, they are disgraced too early. Currencies. I'm mentioning them and I'm teaching you how to get them. So that your life will be fruitful and impactful by all means. These are biblical truths. Number three, moral currency, strategic relationships, or what we call covenant relationships. There are people that if you have in your life, they can move you by many decades. Just being present. In fact, they know. Did you read about Lot? God never spoke to Lot. But Lot was as mighty as Abraham because he was in partnership with Abraham. This is why you have to be careful to know who God sent to you or who God sent you to. You can quarrel with everybody, but not the one God sent you to, or not the one God sent to you. If you make the mistake, you will watch your life drift to nothing. The same Lot that was so wealthy like Abraham, that their servants were contending. A point came. Relationship was severed. Lot left the city with two of his daughters. Reduced to nothing. And even those two daughters committed an abomination that obliterated them from God's agenda. Please, please be careful not to allow pride sabotage covenant relationships. It's a currency. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. The Bible says two are better than one. Why? They have reward for their labor. Two are better than one. The Bible said in Proverbs 18, 24. A man that has many friends must show himself friendly. And he said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Covenant relationship. Some of us are here today because the people that should hold us up when we fall, we cut them off our lives. The people that should speak wisdom into our lives when we were about to make strategic decisions, we cut them off our lives. The people that should believe in our dreams and invest for takeoff purpose, we cut them off our lives. The people that should carry our burdens with us, we cut them off our lives. And so everything began suddenly to overwhelm us. How do you build this currency called covenant relationship? Number one, develop competence. No great person wants to relate with a mediocre. Gentiles come to your life. Kings come to what? The brightness of your rising. If you don't shine, certain people can't come into your space. When you start developing competence, dexterity, expertise, values, suddenly strange people start taking interest in you. People who are not your mates, they want to be around you. They want to support you. So don't lobby for relationship. Build competence. There are people who don't have competence and they are begging around trying to relate with everybody. Anything they say, even if it's not funny, you laugh. Oh God, don't kill yourself. They are going somewhere. They didn't include you. You have joined the convoy. All over the place. You know what happens? They will now start being irritated by you. Because men don't have the capacity to love without value. Nobody, even these relationships we enter, that we say we love unconditionally, is story, story, story. Don't be beautiful. Let that man say, I love you unconditionally. You are joking. Don't have character. And then let me hear that sister or that man that will say, I love unconditionally. Only God can love unconditionally. So, develop what? Expertise. Develop competence. You will notice that when people become fond of you, there will be something around your life that gets their attention. So anytime they crack joke with you, they will move to that thing. Either your beauty, or your craft, or your talent, or your skill. They will call you and hail you. Then they will go to that department. That means when that thing is no more, the joke will die. Develop competence. You know, those days when we were serving, where we were, people would just be coming everywhere. They love our God. They love the man of God. And then, a period we discover, the man of God started traveling. He was not around. The number started dropping. We are all these people. I thought they loved this house. I thought they loved man of God. They don't love man of God. They don't love the house. They love what they value that is coming out. And so the moment the person generating the value is no more, they wake up on Monday, they are tired. Work was hectic. Tuesday, they don't feel right. Wednesday, maybe another week. But the moment on Monday, they hear that God's servant is around, Tuesday, hall is packed. You know, where did they come from? And when the man is around, everybody is walking. Everybody. When I observed that, I learned wisdom. I moved back. I told myself, build value. Nobody loves your face, sir. I know you cut your beard every week. Look sharp. But if you lose value, your beard will be sharp. Nobody will care about you. Have you not seen some young ladies? Eyelashes is long like this. Fingernails are like garden fork. They are moving with fingers. You see the brother, they carve the beard. The line is like the equator. Sharp. They now draw clothes with assumption. Assumption that there is value. Then after 1 week, he talks foolishness. There is need to be met, no money. There is need for direction, no wisdom. Okay. Is it only BS you have? I better go and bab that thing. Meanwhile, there are people who have not developed competence. Then when they see others relating with God, they are there offended. They say they love people here. They don't love anybody. I've been here for 1 year. Nobody has called me. Meanwhile, every day they are calling themselves. Sorry. We are men, not God. If you have a challenge, we will be available. But relationship transact on the frequency of values. Sit down for a moment. I'm showing you how to be rich. Physically, morally, and what? Spiritually. You want good relationship? Strategic relationship? Build competence. Have something. If your light, Gentiles are interested in. Is the brightness of your rising, kings are interested in. You don't have it, the Gentiles will vanish, the kings will vanish. Number two, you want to build strategic relationship, love genuinely. People's competencies, expertise, giftings can attract. But when you get to know people, love them for who they are. Because the point will come, they will vet your commitment. And when they discover you are only around for things, they will see you as a user. That love will become hate. That's why the Bible said, there is a friend Proverbs 17:17, that sticketh, there's a friend that loveth at all times, and he said, a brother is born in adversity. Love people for who they are. You'll be a hypocrite to say you don't care what they have. What they have can attract you. But when you come, build genuine relationships. Nobody wants to be used. The moment people discover you are using them, they will kick you out. And believe me, if you are discerning, you will discover that more than 70% of the people around you are there for what you have. All of them came for what you have. But some will remain for who you are. Even Jesus. You think Peter, them just followed him? The man said, go to the deep. They caught fish, net broke. We have toiled all night. What do you have, sir? He said, follow me, I will make you. Why not? When they told Nathaniel, Philip told Nathaniel, he came, a Jew in whom there's no guy. They whispered to themselves, this is the Messiah. He's the one. They followed. Everybody will come for what you have, but some will remain for who you are. Don't worry how they came, but worry why they are staying. And select your friends among those who stay for you. Build your close associates amongst those who stay for you. If you make the mistake of being naive, you will be stranded in the day of trouble. That's why your true friends are the ones who stood with you in trouble. Go and check Jesus. I told you, he had a followership of 500. He had a followership of 120. He had a followership of 70, of 12, of 3, and of 1. You check their credentials. The 120, they saw him when he resurrected. The 12 obeyed his instruction when he was in the grave. Tarry in Jerusalem. He was no longer around. They still obeyed. They were the ones who received the Holy Ghost. The 70 were the ones who could leave their jobs, leave their businesses, and go out to speak for him. They sent them for missions. The 12 died for him. The 3 are the ones that could keep secrets. He went to the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, don't tell anyone. They kept it. Their mouth each them. The master will be angry. And the one, lovest thou me more than all of these? Lord, you know I do. They don't grade people without value. Don't grade them without loyalty. You'll be naive. Some of you, somebody meets you 2 weeks ago. He's your brother. Everywhere you are, he's there. That's why your life is porous. Kings don't make brothers carelessly. There's a place of covenant and loyalty. It must be proven, because every position must be earned. The mother of James and John said, in your kingdom, let my son one sit by your left, another by your right. Jesus said, that's not a gift. Can they drink of the baptism of suffering that I'm going to drink? They are earned. If your life have no spot that people earn, it means you don't have a life. So when you come to that point where you have mighty people who stand with you, they are currencies. You know why? They can throw their credibility on an issue because of you. They can lend their voices for you. They can stand with you in adversity. There are people that you have problem, they say, no, it can't be that man. The case is over. This is a case that you may need to pay money, get lawyer. No, it's not him. It's over. What it means is that person's presence is worth more than any money you can have in your account. There are people that when they say, make me your guarantor, anywhere you call their name, even if you bring your CV and they see their name and they confirm, you don't only have that job, you are favored on the job. So covenant relationships, strategic relationships, they are all currencies. And you build them by developing competence, by loving genuinely, You build them by also honoring the relationship. He said a friend must show himself what? Friendly. You despise any relationship, it can't grow to become a legal tender. Master the act of honor. Philippians 2 verse 2 to 3. It says we should exalt others above ourselves. And then number 4. You must demonstrate loyalty. Don't be a fair weather friend. You're only there when there are resources to share. In the day of trouble you vanish. When trouble is over and you hear that another news has come, You show up smiling, acting as if you were around yesterday. Okay? You were not around yesterday. The door is not open today. The Bible said in Proverbs 20 verse 7. Verse 6. It said a faithful man. Who can find? What it means is that if you find one, keep it. Keep him or her. Because faithful people are rare. You want genuine relationships? Have expertise. Have competence. Love genuinely. Honor those relationships and show loyalty. In trouble, stand. Before you call somebody your friend, check your heart that if this guy is in problem, I will stand with him. If he has challenge or challenges, I will bear the burdens. If you have not come to that point, don't call anybody your friend. Currencies. So these are what? Moral currencies. Integrity. Time management. And covenant relationships. They are moral currencies. Time management has to do with discipline. Integrity has to do with truth. Consistency. And then covenant relationship has to do with the generality of good character. That's why they are moral currencies. Then we have spiritual currencies. Oh, time is over. Oh my God. Time is over. Next time, if the Holy Ghost permits, I will enter. But how many of you have received something? You can be relevant. You can be fruitful. You can be impactful. The principles are in scripture. Anybody can apply them. Don't sit down and say, oh, I wish I was born with a silver spoon. No. The person who is the father of that one with silver spoon was born poor. And the guy with the silver spoon, if he doesn't learn this secret, he will become poor. I heard something somewhere and somebody spoke about the cycle of life. He said, those who trekked gave birth to those who rode horses. And those who rode horses gave birth to those who drove Rolls Royce. Those who drove Rolls Royce gave birth to those who bought private jets. And then, those who bought private jets now gave birth to those who trekked. Because the guy who was hardworking, who was struggling, taught his children values. They rose by those values. When they became wealthy, they forgot the values. And so the wealthy gave birth to spoiled children. And the spoiled children became poor. So anywhere you are is an advantage. Just trade with values. Let me list spiritual currencies. Go and study them. Study them. I want us to dance and praise God. Spiritual currencies are the most numerous currencies. Amazingly. There are about 6 of them. Number 1 is faith. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. It said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So everything we know was brought into being by faith. Faith is a procuring or purchasing power. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you have it. Believe and you shall have it. So faith can give you whatsoever ye desire. It has purchasing power. Quickly, let's just rush. Let me rush. I'll try 10 minutes. How do you procure faith? Number one, receive the word. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number two, how do you walk in faith? Exercise it when you have it. When you receive the word, don't sit down. Act on it. James 1:22-25. The Bible says, be a doer of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It says, for if any man heareth, any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like one who beholds himself in the mirror. It said, he leaves and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But verse 25, it says, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, it said, that man shall be blessed. So you procure and walk in faith by receiving the Rhema word, and then by acting on the word. And then number three, by staying around those who are faith-filled people. Hebrews 11:24-25. The Bible says to spur ourselves unto love and unto good works, despising not the congregation or the gathering together of ourselves, which is the manner of some. When you stay with people who are full of faith, they will talk you up, not talk you down. Most of us, we have received faith. We are trying to exercise faith, but we met somebody who talked it down and choked that seed. And then number four, how do you exercise your faith? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. So the first spiritual currency is faith. Number two, spiritual currency is wisdom. See the way the Bible puts it. Blessed is the man, Proverbs 3:13-14, who finds wisdom, and one who gets understanding, for the gains of it, the merchandise of it, is better than the merchandise of silver. And the gain is more than fine gold. What wisdom can command, gold cannot command. Hope you know, some of these nations that have stable currencies is because of their gold reserve. But it's telling you there is another tender that is superior to gold. It said it's called wisdom. In Proverbs 24:3-4, it said wisdom. Through wisdom, a house is builded. You can build with wisdom. It said by understanding, it is established. And it says through knowledge, all the chambers are filled with good things. A man of wisdom is wealthy, both in the natural and in the spiritual. Did you not read about Solomon? All he had was wisdom. But guess what? The Bible said he was wealthier than all the mighty men of Egypt. It said he was greater than all the princes of Arabia. All the kings of the earth came to hear him because he had something. And you know how they came? They didn't stroll into his palace. You don't see a wise man empty-handed. When they came with what wisdom was superior to. They came with silver. They came with gold. They came with camels. If you don't have money, you are not in trouble. But you are in big trouble if you lack wisdom. This is why every Christian must be rich in wisdom. Oh, wisdom was talking. In Proverbs 8:15, it said, by me kings rule. By me, princes decree justice. By me, all the nobles of the earth exercise dominance. You can't reign without wisdom. You can't rule without wisdom. So the power to be in charge, wisdom is the one that procures it. May the Lord raise wise men from among us. Wise men, wise men. Oh, the Bible speaks of the wise men of Shiloh.
Oh my God.
The Bible spoke of the wisdom of Solomon. He built edifices. He established God's government. His father fought 66 battles to be able to reign.
Solomon fought none.
Wisdom is a defense. Wisdom can procure what silver cannot procure. Wisdom can procure what gold cannot procure. It is very expensive to be foolish. How do you grow in wisdom? Number one, ask God. James 1 verse 5. Whoever lacks wisdom shall ask God, that giveth liberally and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. 1 Kings 3, 9 to 12. God asked Solomon, what would you want me to give to you? If they give me wisdom and an understanding heart. But when wisdom comes, riches come. Honor comes. Authority comes. Glory comes. Ask God, you will have it. Number two, how do you grow in wisdom? Love instruction. There are people who are angry and irritated every time they are instructed. You are giving yourself to a position of bankruptcy. A man who doesn't love instruction cannot be wise. Proverbs 19 verse 20. Proverbs 18 verse 17. He told us, hear counsel, receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. When you are in the position where they instruct you, they correct you, you are offended. Oh, you are setting yourself up for destruction. Everybody who loves wisdom embraces instructions. Embraces instructions. Number three, how do you develop wisdom? Fear the Lord. He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9 verse 10. And Job 28 verse 28. He said the fear of the Lord, this is wisdom. He said the knowledge of the holy, this is understanding. And number three, how do you develop? Number four, how do you develop wisdom? Study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved. A watchman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't know until you have studied. Buy the truth, sell it not. And finally, how do you develop wisdom? Build company with the wise. Iron sharpeneth iron. As a man, the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27 verse 17. And also, Proverbs 13:20. It says, him that walketh with the wise, himself will be wise. Some of us were wise, but we made friends with foolish people. And we had foolishness for a long time. We became foolish. And some of us were foolish, but we made company with the wise. And over time, we became wise. Wisdom is a currency. Number three, spiritual currency is favor. I told you, favor gives you an advantage. It's not everything you need money for. There are certain things that the aroma of your life should bring into your space. This is why God gives favor. In Proverbs 22 verse 1, where he told us the power of wisdom, a good name, he also told us about favor there as a currency. He said a good name is rather to be chosen than riches. And loving favor rather than what? Silver and gold. When you have favor, you are rich. Protocols can be suspended for you. Things that money can buy and things that money can buy can be given to you. Money itself can be given to you. Proverbs 12:36. Exodus 12:36. The Bible says God gave favor to the Israelites. They spoiled the Egyptians. They spoiled the Egyptians. What did Esther have? All Esther had was favor. In Esther chapter 5 verse 2, the king found favor with Esther. And he said, whatever you want, I will give you. Even if it is half of my kingdom. So you need that currency. But how do you buy, or how do you increase in that currency called favor? Number one, seek good. Those who pursue good, favor comes to them. Those who pursue evil, destruction comes to them. Proverbs 11:27. He who diligently seeks good procures favor. Never find yourself in that position where your heart is evil towards people. The Bible said to subvert a man in his course, the Lord approveth not. There are many people that when anybody is doing well, they are offended. That's why their life is strangulated. Always see good in people. Pursue good in others. That's the way of buying favor for yourself. Number two, how do you build favor? Learn humility. Proverbs 3:34-35. Psalm 5:12. With the humble, God gives favor. It says, For thou, Lord, bless the righteous with favor and compass him as a shield. Go to Proverbs 3:34-35. You read your Bible. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what will he do? In due time, he will lift you up. For God, what? Abhors the proud, but giveth what? Grace. James 4:7. He giveth grace or favor to the humble. Surely he scorneth the scorner, but giveth what? Grace unto the lowly. One of the ways to grow favor is to develop humility. There are people who have not achieved anything, but they are as proud as peacock. That's why at touching the account of favor, they are bankrupt. You can buy these things. You can buy them. You can procure them. Humility gives you favor. Asking God gives you favor. Seeking good gives you favor. Finally, prophecy. Prophecy is a currency. You know, I taught you about the laws of prophecy last week. Now I'm showing you prophecy as a currency. You study 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. And we saw how the economy, 2 Kings 7, verse 1. The economy of a whole nation turned around because of prophecy. The whole economy. 2 Kings 7, verse 1. Where Elisha prophesied. 7, verse 1. This person in this studio, I think he needs a prophecy. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour shall be for a shekel, and two measures of barley shall be for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. This was a city where there was scarcity and lack. Women were eating their children, but prophecy came. No wonder Hosea 12:13 said, by a prophet, he brought them out of captivity. By a prophet, they were preserved. In 2 Chronicles 20:20, he said, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophet, so shall ye prosper. He said, despise not prophesying. See, some of you, the destiny you carry, the only thing that can unlock it is a prophetic word. Human connection will not be enough. Favor will not be enough. That's why when you are a wise man, as you are praying, you are not lost in the prayer. You are waiting for signals from heaven. Because prophetic words are the vehicles that move you forward. As you come for a service like this, you are searching. Sometimes as the man of God is talking inside his voice. And you are hearing something in your heart. That's what you are looking for. Or as he's talking, at a point, the Holy Ghost will alight on him and he will speak a prophetic word. You catch it and run with it. The moment you carry prophecy, you will see that the prophecy will become a voice in the journey of destiny. You think there's an accident. Everybody in the bus died. One person came out. You say it's luck. You go and find out what God told the mother of that child when she was pregnant or when she was looking for a child, perhaps God said, this one will deliver a generation. So that guy can't die until that word comes to pass. Did you not read your Bible? The day Simeon saw Jesus, he said, now I can die in peace. Meaning, the guy wanted to die, but the Bible said, the Holy Ghost had told him that his eyes will see the salvation of Israel. So, so long as that prophecy has not happened, he couldn't die. Why do you think the patriarchs, when they want to depart, they bless their children with prophetic word? I bless you with corn and wine. A word can be superior to the laws of economy. I bless you with open heaven. I bless you with the dew of heaven. And these guys just stood up and left. You ask them, what do you have? I came with prophecy. When the guy, Jacob, went to Laban's house, Laban cheated him 10 times. But when he was leaving, he was bigger than Laban. It means what was powering this guy is beyond the laws of economics. There was a word on his head. He carried it like a cloud. When Isaac went to live in the nation of Gerar, the Bible said he dug where? They collected it. He dug another one, they collected it. A point came, everywhere he departs from dry up. The people are digging, they are not finding water. He is digging and finding water. And when they collect it, it dries. They did the first one, did the second one. They now said, no, this is not geology. There is something happening here. But God has spoken. I will bless thee. As I have spoken to your father Abraham, dwell in this land. There was prophecy. The whole of that land became his harvest field. And when he dug the last one, he called it Rehoboth, because nobody came. Everybody realized there is something happening with this guy beyond human intelligence. It's a currency. Most great men, when you trace their lives, they may not be so committed to God, but their mothers were committed to deities. And their mothers received words from those deities. Whether in light or darkness, a spirit spoke about them. That's why the things that kill other men can't kill them. The things that bring other men down can't bring them down. It's an economy in the spirit. And in case you don't have a mother who knew God, I stand and speak over you. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, arise and shine. In the name of Jesus, the Lord God Almighty, let your way be straightened. In the name of Jesus, the Son of God, let every obstacle in your destiny be broken. I decree by the priesthood of the endless life, this is the morning of your life. Begin to shine. Begin to break forth. Begin to break forth. In the name of Jesus Christ. Fire, 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 belongs to Jesus, belongs to Jesus, power, 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 oh, power, 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 belongs to Jesus. Out of this service, your life becomes fruitful by the power of the Holy Ghost. I say your life becomes fruitful by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every currency you require to live an impactful life, receive the grace to accept them now. Receive the grace to accept them now. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are not disadvantaged. Elijah said, we have more on our side. You have more on your side. And tonight, God opens your eyes to see it.
in the name of Jesus. We are going to go into Thanksgiving. But you go and study the remaining three. Prayer. Go and study it. Prayer. It's the current. Whatsoever ye desire when ye pray. So if there's no prayer, you can't have it. Mark 11:24. Number two, the blood of Jesus. It's a currency. It can exempt you from destruction so that you can enter your harvest. It can stop Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies. So prayer, the blood of Jesus, the occurrences in the spirit realm. Hope you know that our very salvation was procured by the blood. Ephesians 1:7. He bought us by the blood. The Bible said you were bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And Ephesians 1:7, it said we were redeemed by the blood. So the blood is a currency. It's a currency. It's a currency. Let's go into praise. Come on now. Who is leading us? Are you ready to give thanks? Somebody give the Lord a shout. Wait a minute. We have just 5 minutes for Thanksgiving, 2 minutes for announcement, 1 minute for blessing, and we are out of here. But hear this. I've taught you before how to give thanks. Number one, I said what? A heart of gratitude. Even if you thought God didn't bless you this month, at least you are alive. You were not carried here. Number two, I said with what? Words of praise. And in case you don't have words, the choir are helping us with words. Number three, I said with dancing and singing. So long as you are healthy, shake that body. Dance. Number four, I said it's with gifts and offerings. You remember? So as we give God praise, if you don't have all four, at least have two or three. Go back to your heart. Think of how God blessed you this month. Give Him thanks. Come with words. If you don't have, join us to sing. Dance. Lift your hand. Praise Him. And then give an offering that shows your gratitude. I've taught that too many times. We are not going again. Let's go there.
Somebody scream!
Give the Lord the shout! As you depart from this service, every door that needs to open for you to step into your next level, I stand and decree over you as one sent to you in the name of Jesus. Say, open now. Everybody that needs to enter your space for your life to find meaning, for your life to shift to the next level by the winds of the Spirit, I decree and declare they are carried to your space now. Every currency that you require in order for your life to show fruitfulness and impact, whether physical, moral, or spiritual, the grace to aggregate them, let it rest upon you now. Out of them shall proceed the voice of thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. I will multiply them. They shall not be few.
I will glorify them. They shall not be small. By reason of thanksgiving, I decree over you now, by the authority of Scripture and the priesthood of the endless life, step into the greatness phase of your life. Daily, God added to the church such as should be saved because they praise Him. Because you have given thanks, let your daily blessing rest upon you now. No one will be diverted. No one will be shifted from you. Receive your daily increase by the Spirit in the name of Jesus.
The Bible said He gave thanks and He commanded Lazarus come forth. And He said, he that was dead came back to life.
Anything dead in your life that is still relevant or still required for your ordination, in the name of Jesus, on the premise of this thanksgiving atmosphere, I call it back to life. I call it back to life.
The Bible said at midnight, Paul and Silas gave thanks. They prayed and praised God.
And He said the foundation of the prison shook and opened. Any prison where you have been kept, prison of sickness, prison of barrenness, prison of stagnation, prison of disfavor, prison of warfare, I command it now, let it scatter from the foundation. In the name of Jesus.
May speed come into your life. May speed come into your life. May glory come into your life. May glory come into your life. May favor enter your life. Wisdom enter your life. Wisdom enter your life. Let the anointing come upon you. Receive your word for the next level. Receive those graces now. In the name of Jesus Christ.
A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one shall become a great nation. This is the least you will ever be. May your capacity be multiplied by a thousandfold. May your resources be multiplied by a thousandfold. Become a blessing to your generation, and become a blessing to many generations. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let every activity of Satan in your life be stopped now. I say it is stopped now. In Jesus' mighty name. This month will not end until what God has portioned for you enters your hand. I say this month will not end until what God has portioned for you enters your hand. And you will not expire before this month is over. You will not die before this year is over. You will live beyond this year until the time ordained for you in time. And so every arrow designed to pull you down or take you out, they are deflected now. They are returned to sender in Jesus' name.
As you return, the final currency of the spirit realm is instructions. When God gives you instructions, He has given you a key to the next level. And sometimes instruction comes from your priest. He said in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you. They watch over your soul. When they give account for you, they do it with joy. For it is profitable unto you. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Only a fool despises instruction. Before this month is over, make sure you win a soul to God's kingdom. I don't know why God gave me that instruction for you, but I decree the grace to obey. Let it rest upon you even now. And let every blessing tied to that instruction manifest in your life.
in the name of Jesus.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.